Welcome to Live Local Radio 97.1 FM on this rainy Thursday day. Holy smokes, Tag, it's been raining hard all day and all night, and I think there's more in the forecast too, but I've learned a while ago not to really listen to the forecast too much, but look, put my head out the window and say, hell, it's raining. It works out really well that way. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. I'm your host, David Keyes. We're looking forward to a great hour today of live local content, and I want to thank the folks here on the radio station for allowing us to do live local radio. It's kind of a rare thing these days. I was lucky a couple days ago now to spend a little time with Barbara Carpenter. And I've listened to her show over the years, off and on, and I was very impressed. It was a great conversation. We covered a lot of topics. And Tag, I think it went really well. What do you think?
It did. It was very well. Long time in the making, too.
Yeah, you know, it was hit and miss. We're both busy, I guess. But it was worth it, and we'll probably do it again. I'll probably toss the ball her way and invite her to this show sometime.
There we go. I like that. That's good.
I'm a giver that way.
So. Yeah, right. Very nice guy. Caring.
So speaking of giving, I hear something about an NCAA basketball championship coming up. Final four on Saturday, final on Monday. Mm-hmm. Who do you want?
What I'd like to happen would be Illinois, Arizona in the championship. Arizona wins, but
Tommy played. Yeah,
it'll be tough. The Arizona Michigan game. I don't know who's gonna win. I really don't. It's they're both such good teams.
Right.
That I do think Illinois will win. I think.
Well, do you really over Connecticut? Right.
Yeah.
Well, really.
I think Duke was slightly overrated, and I think UConn had one of the best second half performances and the luckiest shot and the worst pass by Boozer. So I think Illinois will win that game and make it to the championship.
Wow, that's bold. I don't think they're the favorite by any stretch.
No, I don't think they are. No,
you put some money on that, I would hope.
Well, I think I just might.
I think you should if you're that confident.
I'm pretty confident in it.
You know what's funny is you can't really tell who listens to what part of the radio show. And I'm afraid what happens out there in radio land is there's people who don't care about basketball. And all of a sudden now they're looking for, you know, Pat Murphy on a different channel or something. So we're not all about sports here, but we do talk a little.
Just slight segments. Just slight 1 minute.
Just
a
touch.
There you go. Just enough.
So since you asked me, Tag, Arizona.
Arizona, you got it taken it all.
For sure. I think the Mark Few string, you know, I think, mm-hmm. wouldn't that be great that Tommy Lloyd would win before Mark Few, but the same year Mark Few gets in the Naismith Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. for great coaching and all that. So everybody wins that way. I think that would be great.
Yeah, and Arizona, I think they have that Houston style of defense, mm-hmm. with a Michigan offense, and that's just a really hard combination to beat. They do seem like the better team.
Yeah, that's really too deep for me. I just think they play a pretty good brand of basketball.
They play very good.
They're fun to watch. They've got that tall guy, and they've got a bunch of short guys who do really well, and you know, it's just good, fun basketball. And you can see some Mark Few-isms on that team. You know, the weaving offense type thing and working to the post and back out, all that good stuff. So, yeah. So it'll be fun. It'll be worth it. And I'm looking forward to spending some time with my favorite father-in-law, who is a big, huge fan, a Gonzaga fan. And I took him to a game last year at the Kennel. That was cool. So we'll spend some time watching some basketball. So
it's going to be good.
That'll be a lot of fun. That'll be a lot of fun. I think what we'll do, Tag, I think we'll take a quick break. And then we have two guests coming today. We have somebody representing Chafe, and I think it's the race coordinator. She's on her way here. She's not here already. I can never see who's quite here. And then later on in the hour, we have somebody from the North Idaho Animal Hospital talking about some new stuff going on there. All of my pets have been to there before, and there you go. So it'll be interesting to find out what that place is up to and who they have working there and what's going on there. And again, quick update on the Chafe bike ride and Rotary and all that kind of good stuff. So I think we'll do that. Tag, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking Chafe and Sandpoint Rotary, perhaps.
Is your car ready? Don't forget your winter checklist. That small rock chip in your windshield can turn into a big crack in cold weather. Specialty Auto Glass reminds you to repair those chips before it's too late. Whether it's a quick fix or a full replacement, their expert team will get you back on the road safely. Stop by Specialty Auto Glass, located on Schweitzer Plaza Drive. A repair today could save you money tomorrow.
Spraying into savings at North 40 Outfitters. Get your fencing repairs done right with top brands like Tartar OK Brand Fencing and Bakert, offering quality post gates and more. Savings up to $200 on select Powerfields and Gallagher Electric Fence Energizers wire and supplies. Stay ready for work ahead with 25% off Noble Outfitters mods. Plus, save $10 on Smith & Rogue shirts. Buy one, get one 50% off work gloves and score free Highland socks when you pick up original canvas pants. North 40 Outfitters. Outfitting. Work and play.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-478-6430 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-478-6430. That's 800-478-6430. What do you have to lose? Call 800-478-6430. Again, 800-478-6430. 6430.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Great vision doesn't require great sight. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Make your impact today. Donate now at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
News Talk 97.1. We're here for a good time. Not a long time.
And welcome back to Live Local Radio in rainy Sandpoint, Idaho. I've been told that you can also hear this streaming as a podcast on Saturday. Well, first of all, on the radio Saturday about 2 o'clock or so. And then it also streams as a podcast forever and ever and ever on NorthIdahoRadio.com. So welcome back. Your host, David Keyes. Looking forward to talking a little bit about the Chafe bike ride, Rotary, and all sorts of things for our first segment. Then our second segment, we're going to have a representative from the North Idaho Animal Hospital talking about all things that are cool there. So a quick show of hands out there. How many people have heard of the Chafe bike ride? Oh, see, tag, I told you, a lot of them. I knew it. I knew that was the case. It's been going on for 18 years, and that's amazing in itself. Over the years, it's raised more than $1.2 million, and then all that money has stayed locally, too, by the way, going into education mostly, but also to club activities such as scholarships and other things that the Rotary, Sandpoint Rotary Club does. And so that's been just a huge, again, $1.2 million, That's a lot of money, no matter how you cut that. And the fact that it all stays here, I think, keeps the Sandpoint Rotarians and the numerous volunteers there coming back for more and more and more. So if you haven't already registered, you should. And it's on June 20th. And there's everything there from the 150, which is what we're going to call that the Tag Benefield event this year, the 150. And that starts in Sandpoint City Beach and goes up to Bonner's Ferry, over to Troy area, down the Bull Lake Highway, and then back on Highway 200. And it takes all day. So, and then there's a smaller, you know, that's commitment. There's no doubt about that. Those folks are in shape now. I know I still have my winter weight on, so I couldn't do it if I wanted to. The second longest one is the 80-mile one. That's kind of cool. So they take buses to Troy. And the Lighthouse folks are generous enough to donate 2 semis, and the bikes are all loaded in there. So it's a one-directional race from Troy down the Bull Lake Highway, Highway 200, then again back to Sandpoint. Hundreds of volunteers are needed for this thing. Holy smokes. It's just amazing to me to see how this has happened over the years and just how the community's really embraced it. Not everybody wants to ride a bike. Not everybody wants to ride a bike on paved highways either. But we also have gravel rides. We have all sorts of different options for different people who want to ride. But we have many more opportunities for people who want to volunteer for the day or volunteer on some of these committees. So if you get a chance, go to chafe150.org. And they'll get you all lined up with things you can do to help out. And again, it goes to such a great cause. Tag, any idea what the cause is this year?
No. What is the cause, David?
Well, you've seen this now as you're starting to become more and more into the world of being a manager and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You start getting resumes from people and mm-hmm. you start saying, oh my gosh, why can't this person spell? Why can't this person do whatever? And remember my previous life of publishing newspapers yes. and media company stuff. People would be graduating from a four-year college in journalism or radio TV or whatever, and they couldn't spell. I mean, it was just weird. Or you'd have weird transitions. You just have weird stuff, right? I actually had a mom come with a young graduate who wanted to be in the interview with the kid as I interviewed.
No. Really? Like stepbrothers. Yeah, two-for-one interview. That's good.
It's like, well, you know, that'd be great. Are you going to work with a kid, too? I mean, no. Mom, why don't you wait out there? That'd be great. this year, this will be the second time around now, every student graduates a reader. So what happens is in our school district, this has been going on this year, kids are tested. They say, are you a good reader? Are you a bad reader? Do you like reading? Do you not? Do you have dyslexia? Do you have X, Y, or Z? So they identify those students at all different age and grades, and they match them up with help, whether it's personal help, whether it's computer help, whether it's classmate help, whatever that might be. So then they start every year, they have a marker. So you don't start over. So what happens is the first couple of years when people start looking at books as kids, you know, you look at it to learn a little bit. You learn to read, right? You're learning how the words work together. And then after that, that switch flips, and then you read to learn. So all of a sudden now you're starting to add on to things that way. And if it doesn't make sense then for X number of reasons, it's a tough time to catch up. So the school district and the state of Idaho actually came to the districts and said, why don't you work on this program? And as all good state ideas, no money involved behind it, but why don't you, we see a need, we want to help out, and why don't you figure out a way to do that? So Dr. Meyer and company came to Rotary and said, well, you know, can you help us? And, you know, again, we're all about helping students for sure. That's one of the bigger things we do. And already, they're giving us progress reports because we're all business people. We all want to make sure this is money well spent. They're giving us progress reports, and wow, you're already seeing the difference, especially in the kindergarten, first, and second grade ones. And that's where you really want to focus, right? That's where the habits begin, all that kind of good stuff. And then, you know, we haven't seen the older kids' results yet, but those were measurably higher. Highest they've ever had, all that good stuff that we want to see. And so for two more years, all of the local proceeds from the ride go to that program. Then every 3 years, Rotary puts it out there for another cause to come in front of the club to help support something else. We did the book trust for a few years, for sure. We've done a couple other things. Way back in the day, we used to do kids on the autism spectrum. And you know about these students, you kind of know who they might be, you don't really, really know, they don't really always plug in, but they kind of get by, and they do well, they're smart kids, they have a disability, a little bit of a challenge, and so what happened was the school district here embraced a curriculum for kids, students on the autism spectrum, and had some help with that and everything else, did that for a few years here. State of Idaho blew in here and said, oh my gosh, I can't believe what you're doing here. Guess what? You're done. We're going to take it over for the state of Idaho. So this is probably 15 years ago, 14 years ago. So the program that runs the kids on the autism spectrum in the state of Idaho started here in Sandpoint, Idaho, because of the connection there with money coming out of the Chafe 150 bike ride. So You know, you talk about trying to make a difference in the world. To me, that's measurable. That's important stuff. And I think this, every student graduates a reader, will be equally impactful too. It's measurable, turns kids on. It's all the good stuff that you really want. So if you aren't training right now for this bike ride, and it's probably a little wet right now, you might have that little trainer, that little Nordic Track thing, or that Peloton in your house or whatever else. This is the time to get in shape. There's some other smaller, shorter rides too. And a couple of them are really kind of fun. They're in the Selly Valley. And so you pop past the Pack River store, you head up the hill and come back down. There's a 25-mile one there. Is that what you want?
Yeah, that's more my speed. 25 miles. Yeah, when you
can do 25.
Yeah, I like that one more.
And then there's a 40 one, and that 40 goes past the Pack River store up the big hill. I mean, and then you come back the street, but you come down the hill. So you earn the downhill.
Okay, you earn the downhill. Yeah, you get the downhill after. Okay.
And it was funny. I used to be fairly competitive in the whole thing. I've learned a couple years ago not to be. Enjoy it and have some friends go with you. So I have been. And I knew it wasn't being taken seriously when I was with my friend Eric Paul and a few people in Rotary, and we made it up the hill, we came back down, and they said, well, let's go into the Pack River store and have a beer. I said, oh, or a pop or whatever. And I said, okay. You know, there goes your time, right? But the time well spent with those folks made it up. And I knew I wasn't going to win, not qualifying for the Olympics, nothing like that. So I thought, let's enjoy that. But it was so funny to watch all the people I'd passed come shooting past at warp speed past the store. And I thought, oh, well, you know, again, you've got to kind of have to, you know, pick your moments for sure. And then Eric Donnenfeld, who's a cycling guy, he rides his bike everywhere. My goodness. He just all over the place. And he's a little bit younger than I am. And so we've always kind of had this competitive thing going, right? And we've never been in the same ride at the same time. Last couple of years, I've been the MC at the finish line, which gets me off the hook, just so you know. I'm still sore the next day, but mostly from talking and walking, but not quite like, you know, riding 150 miles. So Eric finally, and I had finally said, okay, this is our year to do. I think we were going to do the 40 or so. And I didn't see him at the starting line. I thought, oh, good, maybe I got a head start or whatever. And so I took off, and ride started, took off, got to the North Side Fire Department station that's on 95, and boom, a roofing nail took out my back tire. So I thought, okay, I can take care of that. And all of a sudden, this great SAG support people, and this ride is the best, voted one of the best supported rides in the country. They're right there. They said, we'll change your tire. So I said, oh, why not? I don't care. But of course, I see Eric and company shooting past me, and I'm thinking, I can't speed my volunteers up. And they're quick. And so I never could catch up. But I did the math, and if I wouldn't have had that happen, I beat him by 2 minutes. But, you know, I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. But that's what's fun about the Chafe ride. One, it's been voted one of the top 10 on fundraising rides in the country. And so that makes it special that way, too. Bicycling Magazine has rated them one of the best nonprofits ever. Best scenic ride, all that good stuff that people want to keep coming back to. And we're starting to see those numbers pop up again. We had COVID like everybody else, and we didn't have that bike ride that year. But then I was club president the year after that, and we had two. We made up for it a little bit. But Tag, one of the coolest things that happened that year that we didn't have the ride, we had a meeting, and we thought, well, you know, we still want to support the schools. We still want to make sure all that happens. So we kind of rolled the dice, and I think Mel Dick helped lead the charge on that and said, well, you know, even though we're not having that ride, how about we ask all of the advertisers, all the supporters, if they want to support it? I mean, all they can do is say no, right? So went around, Mel did all the heavy lifting on this, and went around to all these sponsors, and every one of them, with the exception of one, said, yeah, we know what you're doing out there. We see what you're doing out there. The money, the exposure that we would usually get isn't the main reason we really do this. So, you know, and so they all did it, except for one. And to me, if there was ever a group, if there was ever a reason to think that maybe you're on the right track with something, was that. I mean, you're not going to do it. You're not going to get all the banners. You're not going to get all the publicity on the shirts, all the jerseys that year. But they still wanted to kick in their, you know, some of them were $5,000, some $2,500 to support what Rotary was doing to me, that was just heartwarming. It's like, okay, you're doing something right. If you can have them want to support you when times are tough that way. So I'm sure by now you're tempted to want to cycle in this ride. And the good news is there's spots open right now still. Chafe150.org is the place to go. And this is the 18th annual Chafe bike ride. A friend of mine, I mentioned Mel a couple times. You met him before, too, out there in the audience. He's everywhere in town when he used to help with this ride. He was the best as far as getting donations and all that kind of stuff. But he's also retired. He decided to move on. He's down in Arizona pedaling his bike down there quite a bit. I hear he's coming back to see us here sometime soon, so hopefully we'll get him in the studio then. But he was like a force of nature. So now I think there are three or four Rotarians out there doing the same thing that Mel did to kind of get a feel for how that all works. Because it's not sales. It's more of just making that relationship and that friendship and all that kind of stuff. And again, people here know where the money is going. So if you're looking for some volunteer time, if you're looking to maybe donate, chafe150.org, talk to Megan. She's awesome. She's the race coordinator. She would be more than happy to get you all lined up. Rotarians are happy to do that too. Still looking for, I hear, and maybe this is something that you could do, Tag. They're looking for a rest area coordinator for all the rest stops. I don't know. What do you think?
That's not a bad gig. if it's not biking involved, I'm down.
That's right. And there's definitely a starting and stopping point to that. You know, that's the one day. You got to get everything all up and running, and then you take it all down and then move along. So I hear that one's still open. But I also know that several hundred volunteers for that ride. It's you've got to have these volunteers at the rest stops. The SAG support, which is support people who look out for people like me with flat tires, that kind of stuff. And again, it's safe as possible. It's a great day. It's just a great sense of community. And just knowing that your time is spent helping somebody more than yourself. And I think we'll take a quick break here and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. But Chafe has made a huge difference in our community, and we're always looking for volunteers that way. And if you're looking for something to do to help our community, I can't think of a better way to do that. So we'll talk a little bit more about Sandpoint Rotary and all that good stuff after the break.
Your mental health matters, and at Bonner General Behavioral Health, our providers are ready to help you thrive. Our psychiatric nurse practitioners provide compassionate, comprehensive evaluations to truly understand your unique needs. From medication options to therapy and lifestyle support, they work with you to find the safest, most effective path forward. Take the first step toward feeling better. Talk to your primary care provider for a referral to Bonner General Behavioral Health. Visit bonnergeneral.org.
It's time for a getaway, and big wins are in bloom at the Kootenai Casino. This April, don't miss our $20,000 Rain Down the Riches drawing. Plus, enjoy mystery hot spins every day, and starting April 17th, experience 24-hour gaming every Friday and Saturday. Ready to get away? Come enjoy a stay starting at just $69 per night midweek, or upgrade to a Riverview room for just $89, and we'll include two breakfast vouchers. Dine with us at the Springs Restaurant, where your cravings are covered. Start your day with an 8-ounce New York steak and eggs for just $15. And for lunch, enjoy a salad bar and a cup of soup for only $10. Or sit down to one of our Fab Four dinners, including fish and chips, London broil, sweet chili salmon, or chicken fettuccine for just $16. And relax at the spa at Kootenai. Luxuriate in a 30-minute massage and signature facial for $119. Or an anti-stress facial and spa pedicure for just $99. Come win in April. Call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY for details or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
Every 65 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's disease. Many don't even know it.
I was lucky. We caught this at the very earliest stages. Pieces of my past are being erased.
Bright Focus Foundation's Alzheimer's Disease Research Program has invested more than $175 million in breakthrough research. Call us at 1-855-345-6237 or visit us online at brightfocus.org/brainhealth to learn more.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Sons Chevrolet, serving the greater Sandpoint area. Taylor & Sons has been operating in the Sandpoint area for over 30 years. Over that period of time, our dealership has acquired a staff of some of the best local talent in the automotive maintenance and repair business. Our service advisors and managers have over 50 combined years of experience working in Chevrolet service departments. Taylor & Sons' deep roster of technicians allows for same week or sometimes same day appointments. Taylor & Sons is constantly investing in the training of our technicians to ensure we're the most competent service center in the area for your Chevrolet or GM vehicle. What this adds up to is one of the most trained and organized repair facilities in the region. In addition to our staff's competence, Taylor & Sons Certified Service offers everyday value for maintenance items such as oil changes, brakes, and batteries. Taylor & Sons also offers a price match guarantee on most name brand tires. Tires are always on sale at Taylor & Sons. All of this work is performed in our clean, state-of-the-art facility. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
News Talk 97.1. We're here for a good time. Not a long time.
And welcome back to Live Local Radio. This is your host, David Keyes. Thank you so much for finding us on this rainy Thursday. And I'm going to guess it'll be a rainy Saturday, too, when this is rebroadcast. But a little bit of a little moisture, a little precipitation, which is desperately needed right now, unless you're in the ski industry. That's been a tough year for those folks, and I feel so sorry for those guys. I truly do. We were up there twice this year, and they made the most of every bit of snow. They made the most of it up there. And, again, it was a good year that way. Tough year for visits. Tough year again for that part of our economy downtown. Our local merchants would love to see you right about now because this is kind of the shoulder season anyway. Got spring break going on right now too. So if you get a chance, maybe pop down and say hi to some of those merchants who help us year round. We were just talking before the break about the 18th annual Chafe bike ride that's coming up on June 20th. Still time to register, still time to support, still time to be a volunteer. So if you're thinking about trying to give back to the community, I can't think of a better way to do that than helping out with the Chafe bike ride. Again, more than $1 million have helped us education, helped the Rotary Club, helped us do all sorts of good things, something bigger and better than ourselves. I also wanted to take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about what's going on here in Sandpoint on May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And that'll be you've heard of Rotary by now, I think, on this radio show. Probably the same people tagged that say, oh my God, don't talk about basketball. Oh my God, don't talk about Rotary. Well, you know what? We're going to talk about it. We're going to do it ourselves, aren't we? All they can do is, find Pat Murphy on, go to K102 or something.
You can do that.
You can do all that.
This is our specialty, though. Rotary and basketball.
That's right. Round ball and not a round ball, for sure. So on May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we're having a whole bunch of Rotarians invade Sandpoint as part of our district conference, and that'll be a really cool thing. One thing, and I don't know, Tag, if you saw this or not, did you watch the Artemis 2 rocket ship go take off?
No, but I did watch Pat watching it yesterday, but I didn't see the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh. So it's the single most powerful rocket ship ever to leave Earth, which is important for sure. And it's really paving the way for future exploration of Mars, but also probably within the next 3 years having humans on the moon surface again. So last time something like this happened was 1972. And my guess is, Tag, you were born a little bit after 1972.
Just a smidge.
So long time overdue. There's nothing I think cooler than the fact that mankind looks out to the stars and tries to explore more and more stuff. And so much came out of the NASA program, the Apollo program, when all of a sudden, Neil Armstrong is walking on the moon, all that kind of stuff. All of those technological leaps that were made to make that happen are still helping us. All sorts of cool things happen, transistor stuff, all sorts of neat things that really have helped shape our world. And I've got to believe the Artemis thing will do that. Well, anyway, so at the Rotary Conference, May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, we have a NASA representative there who will be bringing a moon rock, gloves, they wear, a uniform, all sorts of fun stuff. And he'll be at the House of Friendship, which is going to be 3 days, 2 days. It'll be Friday the 1st and then Saturday the 2nd at the Columbia Bank building downstairs in the Marigold restaurant area. public invited to stop by and say hi and meet Joe. He's a great guy. He's a Rotarian, so it was easy to talk him into coming. He's a NASA ambassador, so he'll be all up on the Artemis stuff. Last time I saw him a couple of years ago at a conference, he was passing out Artemis stickers because it was still kind of this thing that might or might not happen. Who knew with government financing and all that kind of stuff that he was going to be around to help? And he is, and he volunteered to come here. So I think that's kind of cool by itself. So what's going on with this conference? Well, first of all, if you're a Rotarian, please, please, please sign up and come. We already have, I think, almost 80 people signed up in the first week. We've opened up registration. Third of them Canadians, thank goodness. I mean, we're very concerned about that whole thing going on. But we have home hospitality going on where people can stay with other Rotarians. We have home meals so people can save money on the hotel part. They can save money on the food part of it. And we really, at least I really tried to push that to have the, again, the Canadians find one more reason to come across the border and say hi to us. So we're hearing good results that way. We'll keep getting more and more. We're going to guess it'll be about 250-ish Rotarians. But part of what we're doing is also open to the public. We Rotary is known as peacekeepers. We were one of the founding members of the United Nations way back in the day. And that's when a time when the world was kind of goofy, kind of like it is right now. And countries said, we need some body that isn't based on borders but based on people to help us get this United Nations thing going. And Rotary, being Rotary, said, we're up for that. So we did. And to this day, we're the only non-NGO, non-government group that has a permanent seat on the United Nations, and that's for peacekeeping. And you can imagine how busy that is, for sure. I had a friend of mine who recently took the president of Sinn Féin and the president of Ireland to Nagasaki, to Japan, to see what war can do to a country. And they spent a week there touring everything, all this, and how Japan came back from all of that. And I asked him, I said, so do you think you made a difference? And he goes, no, it was a publicity stunt for sure. We wanted to raise awareness. But the good news was that these two leaders who don't really get along all that well spent all this time getting to know each other as people, and all of a sudden, guess what? Then it's a lot harder to hate a country when you know a person from that country or about them more and more. And that's one of the cool things that Rotary does too with our exchange program. We have students all over the world traveling to different countries, going to school, assimilating with different cultures. And to me, that's one of the best peacekeeping things that we can do as people. And Sandpoint Club here has just been so good. Pondery Club, a little bit smaller than the Sandpoint Club, but they are co-hosting this district conference here, which is great. We've got a couple of their members that are doing heavy lifts too. So the peacekeeping part, how do you do that? Well, here's what we're doing. We have a peace pole being hand-carved by a local person that'll be unveiled up at the Pine Street Woods on Saturday of the three-day conference. And we're making that a big central theme of part of our conference because, the world needs more peace. But to have it'll have four different languages on it. It'll have really just interesting, intricate design stuff. I've seen, as he's starting to go through it right now to get it done, it's going to be beautiful. It'll be a testament to peace. And people say, what does that mean? And I'm not sure either. But I know there's 100,000 peace poles around the world. I know that when in doubt, it's not a bad place, especially at the Pine Street Woods, to contemplate what you're going to do when you're up there and to see this peace pole, perhaps, to maybe inspire people to look inward and be a little more peaceful. I don't know. I mean, I guess you can't really, really measure that. But it's going to be right next to the kiosk that Rotary built along with the Kinnickstu Land Trust folks and the Pine Street Woods folks. And it's also part of right next to the Rotarian Trail, of all things. So it's like home base for us for that. So that's going to be open to the public. You'll hear more and more about that as we get closer to it. It's still a little ways away. And we're going to have two buses that are going to bring Rotarians from the Panada. We're having part of our conference up to that and then back down again because I'm just afraid that if you're from Walla Walla, you're going to try to find Pine Street Woods and you might get lost. So we thought, what we're going to do? We're going to encapsulate these Rotarians. We're going to put in a bus. We're going to take them up there, do our thing, and take them back. And we're going to have messages of peace from a high school student here. We've got Mayor of Dover going to be invited to it. We've got yours truly. I get to help MC the thing. That'll be fun. But it'll just be a celebration, a time to take a deep breath and think about something bigger than ourselves again, world peace. Go figure. I think that's time well spent, I think, to make sure that at least it's in the forefront. So that's Saturday. So on Sunday the 3rd, we're doing something unique, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of that if you want to as well. And that is, we're going to sink a time capsule. So we're going to sink a time capsule that'll be unearthed 100 years from now. So I'm looking at Tag. He'll be around because he's a healthy young guy. I did the math. I won't be. So it'll be a touch and go for sure. What we're doing is we've got this tube, basically. It'll be sealed. It'll be all the good stuff to try to preserve anything that's in there. And that'll be opened 100 years from the day we sink it. There'll be a little a lid on it that will say, do not open until 2126, you know, whatever that it means. And it'll be inside that kiosk that I'm telling you about at the Pine Street Woods. So it's kind of out of the way of stuff. We think that's probably good. We already have coins coming in. Coins are going to be good. We've got pins coming in. We've got memorabilia coming from Rotarians mostly. I've got Corey Kuhn, the police chief here in Sandpoint, gave me a coin and a badge, you know, for the Sandpoint Police. Won't that be interesting to see what life is like here 100 years from now when they open up that time capsule? I think some would argue it might be a little bit different than it is now. We're seeing things change so fast in our world right now that, you know, who knows what 100 years will be like. We've invited people to submit essays, too, on what life is like here now to tell the folks 100 years from now what life is like. And then other people to predict. What do you think life is going to be like here in Sandpoint, Pine Street Woods, North Idaho, the world in 100 years? So it'll be, that's kind of a good conglomeration of all that kind of stuff. I do know that you don't put a newsprint in there. I may have told you this one before, Tag, but it disintegrates no matter what you do with it. And I have a friend who's opened up two time capsules in Spokane, and there's like this musty kind of stuff. No matter what you do, it just disintegrates. It stinks. It's not good stuff. It's all that kind of a nasty, nasty experience. So so we're not doing that. But if you're interested in submitting something or donating a coin, a pin, whatever else, I'm writing a check for $1 million. I'm post-dating it to 2126. And so I think that'll be kind of fun. We'll see see if that works really well. So with all that, feel free to drop anything by send it to our auto body shops would be great. Or you can find a Rotary and give it to them. A few people in Rotary have already given me some coins and some cool things that way. But we look forward to it. You'll be hearing more about that as we get rolling into it. But May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we look forward to seeing you there. So I think what I'm going to do is take a quick break. And when we come back, I think we'll be talking about the North Idaho Animal Hospital. So let's do that, Tag. Let's take that break. And when we come back, we'll talk animals.
At Les Schwab, we've been changing the tire game for more than 70 years. We design our own exclusive tires to give you more tires made for the roads you drive, less compromise. All backed by America's best tire warranty included in every tire we sell. It's more unbeatable tire warranty, less charging you extra, like the other guys. It's all about you getting more from less. Stop by or book an appointment at LesSchwab.com.
When it's time to hit the road, let Squeaky's Truck and Auto in Kootenai get your pickup ready for everything you have planned. Squeaky's offers custom truck accessories like WeatherTech mats, bed covers, receiver hitches, gooseneck hitches, and fifth wheel hitches. So, no matter what you plan on hauling this season, Squeaky's is the place to go. For more information, stop into Squeaky's Truck and Auto on Highway 200 in Kootenai.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad. And I feel very proud to be his son.
That was what he needed. and he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about, realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Spring at the Co-op means seed potatoes and onion sets. Patty has Stuttgarter yellow and Ebenezer white onion sets due to arrive mid-March. Both are long-day varieties suitable to our North Idaho growing season. We expect to have 6 varieties of seed potatoes this year, also arriving in mid-March, including the new Huckleberry Gold and Lasota Red varieties. Huckleberry Gold is prized for its low glycemic index. We have some soil amendments already in the parking lot, as well as peat moss, garden straw, and large bags of coarse perlite and vermiculite. And don't forget, we have plenty of garden tools, gloves, hats, hose repair items, and drip irrigation parts in stock now. It's all at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820, and on the web at coopgasandsupply.com.
News Talk 97.1.
And welcome back to Live Local Radio. This is your host, David Keyes, on a rainy Thursday afternoon for sure. I've got in the studio Alex Glasgow. He is an associate, associate veterinarian.
Yeah,
at North Idaho Animal Hospital. And he's getting used to being in town. He's been here since September, working hard at one of our favorite locations in town. All of my pets have been there. All good stuff, so we appreciate that. And Alex, welcome to Sandpoint, and welcome to the radio.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad.
To be here.
So, where did you come from?
My wife and I, we moved from northern Colorado. We were in between Denver and Fort Collins.
Gotcha.
On the Front Range there.
And how did you find here? Was it the job brought you here then?
Well, so we just kind of drove all over Idaho one summer, just kind of doing a little vacation, if you will. And she didn't want to come up here, but I convinced her to because I'd heard good things about Sandpoint. So we drove through the town, loved it, just visiting. And then we came back a couple more times because we were, getting ready to kind of start our life together, more or less. We've only been married for about a year. We just celebrated our 1 year last month. So we visited a couple times, and we liked it so much I started looking for jobs up here, and found a job at VCA there and applied and got it. And then we moved up here, and then she found a job, so hit the ground running.
So VCA,
yeah.
What does that stand for?
VCA is kind of the corporate entity that owns North Idaho Animal
Hospital. Gotcha. And I've heard that before. I just didn't know if that was. So it's kind of interchangeable then.
Yeah, the interchangeable. Funny enough, it's actually Mars, the candy company, that owns. VCA is one of their subsidiaries. So, and strange, right?
Small world,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
so you could invest that way in them.
Well, they're still family owned. So they're not actually publicly traded, which is interesting.
And that's from Sheridan, Wyoming. There's a whole story about the Mars family. I could tell you a little bit. I know about them. I had no idea about the VCA connection that way.
Really
too.
Weird, huh?
So tell me about the wild world of veterinary science. My gosh, I mean, you talk about doctors, MDs. I can tell you where my arm hurts.
Yeah.
Dogs and cats can't tell you. You got to figure it out.
It's a whole different world. Yeah. So, not only are you solving that puzzle of them not being able to tell you what hurts and where it hurts, but all the different species we see, everything from, birds, chickens, stuff like that, reptiles, and then even just, your mammals. You have everything from guinea pigs and little rodents, pocket pets, to, horses, cattle, livestock. So it runs the gamut, and, you have to be kind of a jack of all trades, master of none a little bit, but, it keeps you on. Keeps your head on a swivel, and it's fun. It's interesting, but yeah, it's very different from
always evolving too, Alex. I mean, I imagine so, huh?
Yeah. Medications, we're a step behind human medications, so there's always new stuff on the market for pets. Sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes stuff starts with pets,
right,
and they say, oh, maybe we can extrapolate this over to the human side, and then stuff will go over there. But supplements, I mean, there's always new stuff coming up. Yeah.
And you're young enough to probably not seen the change as much as some, but how pets have kind of found their way from the backyard into the house, into the bed.
Yeah.
Now they're part of your family anymore.
Yeah,
is that true?
Sometimes they're treated better than our family.
I think think they are, actually.
Sometimes they're the favorite family member, I think.
I think you're exactly right, because how do you get mad at those little puppy dog eyes and whatever else?
But yeah, a big change, you know, over this last century probably. But yeah, you know, beasts of burden, livestock, working animals to members of the family that, mm-hmm. you know, spare no expense sometimes.
And that's true, right? I mean, and owning a pet, there's some responsibility there for sure.
Absolutely.
And people always say, oh, you know, let nature be nature. Well, that's not the case, because we do have some responsibility, right?
Yeah. When you, whether you purchase or adopt that animal, you know, you're taking on responsibility for, you know, doing the best for it and, you know, putting your best foot forward for health and longevity and whatever for that animal for the duration of its life.
So. Sure. And as two-legged mammals that we are, you know, we have our annual physical, we do all that kind of stuff. Is there a protocol for animals too to keep them healthy?
Yes, and essentially the same thing, you know, annual physical, because, you know, even a lot of times, you know, we'll catch things in the mouth. You know, most owners aren't looking in the mouth and looking at the teeth and oral masses and stuff like that. We'll catch things in the mouth, little, you know, lumps and bumps in the body that you may not have picked up on because you're not, you know, most time you're petting your animal, the back or the head or something like that. So, you know, subtle change, you know, arthritis, maybe they're, you know, I catch, hey, they're walking a little funny. There's a little hitch in their step. And, oh, you know, I hadn't noticed that. But annual exams to catch stuff like that. If they're older, you know, annual blood work is a really good idea. That's when stuff starts popping up. And that usually correlates with when vaccines are due anyway. So we, yeah, the best medicine is to have them come in once a year, as long as they're healthy and doing well, to check in, get hands on them, feel that pet, you know, see what's going on, get them caught up on their vaccines, talk about anything that may pop up.
Good. And it seems like that's the stuff you plan. The stuff you don't plan on, of course, is the barbed wire fence or face-to-face with a skunk or a porcupine or something else. So if they come to your facility, how do they Saturday afternoon or Sunday night or whatever else, what happens when things happen? What do people do?
Yeah. So we the nice thing about us is we're kind of a diverse clinic in that, you know, we have doctors there doing surgery most days. We have doctors there seeing appointments, and then Monday through Saturday from 8 to 5:30, and then Saturday 8 to 3 o'clock, we have urgent care, so walk-in. So, you know, if you or I, you know, cut ourselves working outside or something like that, and we would go see the urgent care, same thing for the pets, and then at our facility. So we try to do almost 7 days a week, same day care as well.
Sure. And you can handle about anything, right? I mean, that's, I guess that's the...
Yeah, for stuff that needs overnight care, so the really, really sick or injured, you know, Coeur d'Alene has the 24/7 facility. But here in town, we're probably the most, you know, comprehensive, extensive care for, you know, in and out.
Right. When I knew you were coming, or at least somebody from your facility was coming today, I was talking to my wife about that. And you talk about emotional stuff. I mean, like you said, there's nothing closer than our pets a lot of times. And, you know, when you have to put an animal down and all this kind of stuff, it's just horrible, horrible, horrible. But and then we've done that twice at your facility.
Yeah.
And every time, you know, you hate it.
Right.
But you man up and do it.
Oh,
because,
you
know, people, and you help me with this, but I've been told that animals really know if you're there when things are not good.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, probably the hardest but most important decision you make as a pet owner, right? Is when the good days outweigh, or the bad days outweigh the good. Yeah. And that's the nice thing we have about animal medicine, is we have that opportunity to ease suffering and ease pain and stuff. And, you know, that's very, you know, very specific to veterinary medicine, animal medicine. So, I mean, when you get to that point in animal's life, you know, the owner knows best and knows when it's time, and we're there to facilitate that and make it as, you know, painless as possible and be there and support the owners.
And is that something you learn in vet school, or is that just being a human, or where does that come from?
Yeah, I think the emotional aspect is just being human, and you pick it up as you go.
Yeah.
You know, your first couple are very strange, but after a while, you kind of, you know how to be a friend.
Yeah.
And you're not just a doctor at that point. You know, you're a fellow human, you're a neighbor, you're a friend, you care about that person. And, you know, the last thing I always tell owners is get home safe, take care of yourself.
Yeah,
today's a bad day.
Yeah. Well, and that's important. It really is. And, you know, I think about it right now. I think, oh my God, those were tough days for sure. But, you know, your animal's in pain and not enjoying life that much and all that. So it's kind of our responsibility to take control. I want you to come back sometime.
Yeah.
This is going to be short. We've got to cut it off because we have a hard commercial break coming up here. And
no worries.
And he's going to start pull me off the air with the music here shortly. But Alex, I want to thank you and thanks for coming by. We'll plan another occasion to talk more because we've got all sorts of animal stories to share back and forth. So, well, thank you for finding us on Local Live Radio 97.1 FM. We'll see you next week on the radio. Take care.